Again, for just the opportunity, the privilege of being able to get into your word. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, that you would change us as a result of hearing your word and just opening our hearts to you. And Lord, that's what we do. We just open our hearts to you this morning. Amen. Okay, well, over the last few months, we've talked quite a bit about two topics, prayer and worship. And I believe there's still some more things that I'd like to kind of share on both these topics. One big one is hearing his voice. That's so important for, I believe, our generation to learn, especially in light of the calling that God has called us to, the church in general, and specifically Emmanuel Fellowship, and more specifically you. He's called you. But we've got to learn to hear his voice. But it also occurs to me that we could be skipping over something very, very essential. And that is spending time with the Lord. Actually, nothing we've talked about concerning prayer or worship can we really do? It can never really happen unless we know how to spend time with the Lord. And not just knowing how, but we're actually doing it. In fact, when we start talking about things like hearing his voice, it's especially important that we know how to spend time with the Lord and are doing it. And I think we need to ask ourselves, can we really think that we can move into this mountain-moving type of prayer that we've been talking about, or entering into a deeper level of worship, one that strikes down the strongholds of Satan and the kingdom of darkness, unless we are spending time with him? Do we think we could ever hear his voice or walk in the Spirit unless we are spending time with the Lord? So today, I want us to take a couple steps back and talk about something very simple. Probably a lot of us could say, oh yeah, Mike, you've kind of shared that like about once or twice a year, ever since I've been going to this church. I've heard this all my life. Well, it's not just knowing about spending time with the Lord. We need to actually be doing it. And we need to kind of, God wants to take us to another level. So that's what I want us to talk about. For some of you, this may be a first step or your next step. But for all of us, God wants to take us to a new level. I have a diagram here that's coming up. And, of course, all illustrations have their limitations. But sometimes they can show us something visually that, oh, yeah. If we are spending a little bit of time with the Lord, there's going to be little fruit. There's going to be some fruit. If we're spending a lot of time with the Lord, there's going to be, hold on for a second, this is new. And sometimes it just, okay, I think that's it. Okay, if we're spending a lot of time with the Lord, there's going to be more fruit coming forth in our life. I mean, personally, reaching out to others, our walk with the Lord. So it's a question of little fruit or much fruit, or maybe there's another one I didn't put up. What if we don't spend any time with the Lord? There's no fruit, right? And by the way, spending time with the Lord, I'm not talking about just coming on Sunday morning. I'm talking about personally. Okay? So what happens if we try to move in the callings of God that he has with us without spending this time with the Lord? Well, first of all, what we do is going to be lifeless. It's not going to have life to it. That's because everything we do needs to be breathed upon by the Holy Spirit. Actually, that's a phrase in the Greek that it talks about how God wants to breathe life into us. And sometimes we call it the anointing of God or his blessing, or maybe it's his favor. That only comes by spending time with the Lord. Religious activities, without spending time with the Lord, are just going to be activities. No life. And sadly, I think that's true for a lot of Christians, or at least for seasons of their life. Prayer and worship can become mechanical, because all Christians are going to worship and pray. It may be at house church Sunday morning, but they just feel like they're kind of going through the motions of it. And that's because they're not really spending personal time with the Lord. Prayer and worship flow out of a relationship with God. Instead of hearing from God, which, by the way, requires time spent with Him, we make decisions based on what seems to be good or wise. But what's wrong with that? Good decisions, sometimes, well, they only carry so far. You know, we need to have the mind of the Lord. And sometimes decisions based upon the Lord could be risky because they require faith. They may seem impossible. It may be unpopular. God loves to show His power, but it's usually outside of just conventional wisdom. The scriptures are filled with that. Joshua and the nation Israel, they finally get to the promised land. There's the city of Jericho, a very fortified city. What does Joshua do? He goes to the Lord. Lord, what do we do now? The Lord didn't kind of say something that was very conventional. He said, listen, here's the plan. I want you to march around Jerusalem. I want you to march around the second day. I want you to do it the third day, fourth day. And put it on the seventh day, I want you to march around seven times. And at the very end, blow the trumpets. Joshua is probably thinking, okay, that's not exactly what I was thinking about. But is this you speaking to me? This is me speaking. Joshua does it. And what happens? Jericho falls. They move in. They get ready to go to the next city. Does God do it the same way? You know, Joshua probably thought, you know, that was kind of fun. Can we do it the same way, Lord? No, He kind of did it different the next time. And the next city was different. That's the way God does things. So we have to hear His voice, which means we have to spend time with the Lord. So instead of going through life just making good decisions, which, by the way, God has the ability to see what's happening in the future, doesn't He? He knows what's going to happen a year from now, 5 years from now. And so when He tells us what to do, it's so much better. So there are many examples in the scriptures, godly men and women spending time with the Lord. Enoch, we don't know much about him except that he walked with God. In fact, he walked with God so much that when it was time for him to die, what did God do? He just took him up. He didn't even die. Moses, he spent large amounts of time at the tabernacle. So much so that when he'd come out of the tabernacle, we've talked about this before, his face would be glowing so much from the presence of God, they had to put a bag over his head because you couldn't even look at him. That was before the days of sunglasses, but I don't think sunglasses would have helped. He spent large amounts of time there. Another example is David. You know, he spent a lot of time just out in the field, even as a little boy, learning how to spend time with the Lord. Read the Psalms. You can tell. He was a man that spent time with the Lord. There's Daniel. I mean, we see him fasting and praying. And that's when God would intervene miraculously with a dream or with a vision. Or sometimes an angel would kind of come to him, like Gabriel, with a message. It was a result of spending time with the Lord. Jesus. A lot of examples here. Let's just look at a couple here. Let's look real quick at Mark 1, verse 35. I remember noticing this when I was a teenager. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Even the Son of God needed to spend time with His Father. Luke 4, verse 42. Another time. And when day came, I guess he kind of didn't do it in the early morning this time, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. And then he kind of met his disciples, and he had a word from the Lord for them. You can read about it. There's Peter. Actually, all the apostles in Acts 6, verse 4, they found that they were getting so busy, the apostles, that they needed to do something. And in fact, they said, listen, we want the congregation to select some deacons, some people to help us out. Because we need to be what? Devoting ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Spending time with God. That's what they needed to be devoting themselves to. Another time, in Acts 10, Peter is, well, God had already spoken to Cornelius. Listen, I want you to, there's a man in a town named Joppa, and I want you to go to Joppa and ask for a man named Peter, Simon Peter, and tell him that he's supposed to come see you. And, Peter probably thought, who are you? Except for the fact that he was on, well, let's read it. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter didn't know that. Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour, that's about noon, to pray. He was praying, and that's when God started speaking to him. And you can read the story. Hey, listen, I've got something very unusual for you to do, like go to the house of a Gentile. And Peter first thought, no, I can't do that. I'm a clean Jew. But you know what? He listened to the Lord. And because of that, the Gentiles started receiving the Lord, which I'm very thankful for. Paul, you see it all through his writings. He prayed for people daily. And he talks about one time he spent 3 years in the wilderness in Arabia just with the Lord. He spent time with the Lord. John, the apostle, even in the book of Revelation, it says that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when all of a sudden God speaks to him this message in the book of Revelation. It was because he was spending time with the Lord. And we could probably talk about a lot of other people. We could go through church history. I could tell you about many biographies of great men and women of God. They all learned to spend time with the Lord. Now you might say, yeah, but those are like great men and women of God in the Bible. And if you got a biography written about you, you were probably, you're pretty special. What about a common person? What about me? I'm a housewife. I have kids. Well, there's examples of that too. Who knows who Susanna Wesley is? She's the mother of Charles Wesley and John Wesley. John Wesley, I mean, both of those two, they probably were the two most influential people, or two out of five, in the 1700s in England. And Susanna was the mother. Let me tell you a little bit about Susanna. Susanna was the 25th child of 25. She was the baby of the family. Can you imagine growing up with 24 brothers and sisters, being the youngest? You really got picked on. But she made it through. She married when she was 19, maybe to get out of the house. She decided to have a smaller family. She only had 19 kids. That's right, 19 kids. A few of them died actually at birth. But she trained her children. She was going to spend an hour a day with the Lord. And what she would do, she had an apron, and she'd put that apron over her head and spend time with the Lord. And all the kids knew you had to be absolutely quiet and not bother mother during this time. Or else, I don't know what, that was back in the day when you could discipline pretty freely, But you know what? That's the way she spent time. And she prayed for all her kids. Now, she didn't have an easy life. Her husband actually left her for about a year, came back. He was in jail two or three times. Their house burned down twice. Can you imagine that? One time, she had to kind of divide all the neighbors had to kind of take care of, you know, I'll take two kids. I guess she had a lot of neighbors to take care of, 19 of them. But, you know, and it was very hard for her. She was real big on educating her children. The day after their fifth birthday, she started teaching them how to read. She would give them books. She gave them a classical education. She also made them, starting at age 5, learn to read and write in Greek, because the scriptures were there, in Latin. Amazing woman. But she was busy. But she found time to spend with the Lord. And so, you know, there have been men and women throughout history who've been busy, but they've found time to spend time with the Lord. You know, in my life, I feel very blessed that when I was a teenager, actually between my 10th and 11th grade year, I was living in Taiwan and I knew some missionaries, and they began saying to the group of teens that they were working with, I was one of them, it's important to spend time with the Lord every day. And somehow that stuck with me. It was something that God really spoke to me. And I started, as a teenager, spending time every day with the Lord. Now, have there been days in the last 40-something years that I've missed? Sure I have. But most of those days, I've at least spent some time. And I found that as I've grown, my time with the Lord has been sweeter and sweeter. It is something that, when I look back on my life, I know that's one of the best things I've ever done in my life, is start a habit of spending time with the Lord. I don't see it as being optional for Christians. It's essential. And I went through high school. I went through college. You know, when we first got married, I had a job as an environmental technician. You know, I had to be at work at a certain hour. It's not like, because it'd be easy for you to say, well, yeah, Mike, but you're full-time in the ministry. Of course you have time to spend time with the Lord. But it didn't start that way. I had to make time. And you've got to make time. Just some practical tips for spending time with the Lord. First of all, don't make it too complicated. Spending time with the Lord basically is spending time with the Lord, you know, just like in any other relationship. There are no rules that I've found in the scriptures, you know. Now, spending time with the Lord probably will include prayer, worship, listening to Him, sometimes writing. Sometimes I just write out what do I feel like God's speaking to me. That's a real good way for me to crystallize my thoughts of what I feel like God's saying, you know. Of course, there's time in the scriptures. That's very important. That's sort of a foundation. Sometimes I will read a book, not just any old book, but maybe something that's more devotional, where I'll just read 2 or 3 pages a day in addition to all this. But you know what? It's not like I do all those things every day. I know I hear people talk about that. It's great if they do. For some days, it may be more just getting into God's Word, and then maybe a little bit of prayer. Other days, it might be worship and getting into God's Word. It can be different ways. The important thing is that you're spending time with Him. That is very, very important. There's all sorts of things you can do. There is no rule. Different things I've done over the years, like with God's Word, I've done things where I've just started at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, and I've read through the whole Bible in 1 year. I've done that a lot of times. Other times, I will spend most of my time maybe in the book of Proverbs, over and over. Sometimes Psalms. Probably the last 2 years, I keep reading and rereading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, in fact, I'll read them in Spanish, and I'll read them in French sometimes. Because sometimes, just reading in another language, I see things, huh, it says that? Does it say that in English? Oh, oh, yeah, it does, kind of, but I think I like it better in French. Or the way Spanish says it, wow, it's a lot more powerful. That's okay. I mix things up. I can remember once I was reading through the book of Hebrews. And I read through the book of Hebrews 50 times before I went to something else. It took me several months to do that. I just go over and over and over it. Another time, I felt I wanted to really get into the book of Ephesians. And I was in my 20s at the time, and I actually went over, I got it in my head, and I feel like it was God that said, start memorizing. And I memorized the whole book of Ephesians. And then I'd go over and over. There's a season I just loved Ephesians. You know, I've done different things at different times. And there's sometimes I'm not doing anything really fabulous. Like recently, I've just been reading through the Gospels over and over. There's different ways you can do it. And, praying. I've done different things. I've done lists. I'm using the prayer journal now. One thing I do, and I've done for, especially since I've lived here in Summit County, is almost every day I go out for a prayer walk, whether it's snowing or whatever, usually in the early morning. And I've developed a pattern of just different things that I pray for. You know, I usually start off, you know, just maybe worshiping and thanking the Lord. And then I'll begin to start praying for people in my family. Then I'll kind of pray for different people in the church. And it may be different people every day. And then I pray for people maybe in France or Mexico or whatever. And then I also try to just take time just to listen. A lot of times, some of my messages that I do on Sunday, they come to me when I'm on my prayer walks. Recently I had some great ideas for a drama that came to me on my prayer walk. So I just do different things, and there's no one way. I've never done what Susanna Wesley did, got an apron and kind of put it over my head. To me, that'd be kind of, I think I'd get claustrophobic or something. But you know, if I had 19 kids around me, I might feel like, hey, that's a refuge, you know? I don't know. And so there's no rule. But I encourage you to talk to other people. In fact, in house churches, it'd be a good time just to talk about what's ministering to you. Because a lot of times I hear people say, oh, I've been doing such and such. And I think, I'd like to do that. Is that okay to copy someone else? Sure it is. Because God speaks to us through one another. So I think house church, or even when you're just hanging out with people. So Mike or Monty Bell, what do you do with your time with the Lord? You know, how about you, Chewy? Well, you know, one thing I really like to do is listen to Marcus Witt, and whatever, you know. Hey, that's a good idea, you know. Why Marcus Witt? Well, because a lot of his songs are da-da-da-da, you know. I especially like that one, Yo Te Busco, you know. Or you just get ideas. And I started asking people about what they do in their quiet times, their times with the Lord, even when I was a teenager. I remember asking missionaries, what do you do? What do you do? I got a lot of good ideas. Have I used all of them? No. I've used a lot. So these are just some practical things. Does it need to be at one particular time, in one particular spot? No, although for some people that really works. You know, I've already mentioned walking. Now, I can't really study God's word that way. I can memorize scripture that way. Sometimes I'll take something and kind of look at it, you know. Driving. I know some people, they just love when they drive. Maybe they have a job where they drive a lot. And they found that they can get a pattern of just worshiping, talking to the Lord. It's going to be different for every person. Now, one thing that is important is keep away from things that distract you. You know, if you've got the television on, that would be probably very hard for me, because I'd kind of keep wanting to watch what's happening, you know. Music. Music, worship music can be good, but sometimes it can be a distraction. So it can be both. Each person needs to find out for themselves. That's why it's a relationship. I do like it to be relatively quiet. In fact, there's a lot of words for spending time with the Lord. There's your devotional time, your private time with God. One that I heard when I was a teenager was quiet times. And I like that because I'm going to be quiet before the Lord and listen. So that's the one I kind of use, is quiet time. It's my quiet time. But whatever works for you. The important thing is that you do it. Now, for you to do it, it probably means that you need, in fact, you have to plan a time each day. It may be different. It's usually better to do it every day the same. And I would make it a point of just always, you know, if you feel like, wow, every day, that's a lot. Start 4 or 5 times a day or 4 or 5 times a week. You know, plan a time and stick to it. That's probably the hardest part. You know, at first, it's a pattern in your life that you're not used to. And it's going to be something that there's going to be spiritual resistance. Do you think the devil's going to be sitting around and kind of say, oh no, there's another one of the saints. He or she, they're talking about spending 35 minutes a day with the Lord every day. I don't want that. It's going to be distractions. You could get phone calls. You could get all sorts of stuff. That's what's going to happen. You have to fight through that. But once you fight through it, it becomes who you are, part of your life. And that's when you can begin to hear God on a regular basis. And you're going to have that life, like we showed there, with lots of fruit. You can start, no matter how old you are with the Lord. I started when I was a teenager, between my 10th and 11th grade. You know? But plan a time, and probably the most important thing, and I'll borrow the Nike slogan, some of you work at Nike, just do it. You know? Just do it. You know? It may be a little awkward. It may feel a little clumsy at first. You may not feel like, by the way, will some of your quiet times be kind of boring at times? I've kind of had times where I've kind of gone through my time with the Lord and I think, wait a minute, I just rushed through that. What did he even read? I can't remember. I feel very embarrassed. You know, that doesn't happen too much now, but it used to when I first started. You know? Or, you know, Lord, I want to start spending time with prayer. And all of a sudden I start thinking about this, or I start thinking about that, or what I've got to do, what I did yesterday, what I've got to do later. Am I the only one that has that problem? Does anyone else, your mind wanders? Yeah. But you know what? Don't just give up. Keep pressing through. And eventually you get where that doesn't happen that much. At first it will be, because it's a battle. Fight for it. It's the one thing in life, after you've made your commitment to the Lord, you've got to fight for it. Because it's essential for you to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. And remember to always take time to listen to Him. You know, listening is so important. Being still. And by the way, that's when your mind will start drifting the most. Okay, I'm not reading anything. I'm not praying about anything. Lord, I just want to listen. And okay, you have anything to say? And then 10 seconds later, you're kind of thinking about, you know, a conversation you had yesterday or something like that. You just have to, it takes some discipline of the mind. But every one of us can do it. And you just have to work through it. By the way, He'll speak to us, not just when we're still, but when we're praying, our time in the Word, if we're reading a book, through worship. We have to have our ears open. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Listen to Him, and He will teach us. Or I like Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And the next, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for it does not satisfy? And then he kind of gives us the answer. He says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. And then I think verse 3, incline your ear to me, listen that you may live. And then I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you. But listen carefully to him. Incline our ear. By the way, what does he want to speak to us about? Everything. Our day, our plans, our failures, becoming more Christ-like, people he wants us to talk with or pray for. You know, he wants to tell us how to pray for maybe people that he's put on our hearts. You know, he wants to show us more about his ways. I mean, it's really endless what he wants to talk to us about. Now, probably everything I've said today, probably most of you've heard probably everything before from somebody. But I believe that God's word for us isn't just, don't just know about it, just do it. We've got to start doing it. And that means we need to make a commitment that this is going to be something I'm going to do. This is going to be a lifelong pattern in my life. Without a commitment, I can tell you right now, it will not happen. If you think, well, yeah, that'd be kind of nice. If I get to that, I'd like to kind of start doing that. It's not going to happen that way. You have to decide, I'm going to do this. And by the way, God gives grace to those who make a godly commitment. Will you fail? Sure you will. There'll be times that, especially at the beginning, that you just forget all about, oh no, I didn't even do that this morning. How could I have forgotten? Well, because there's a spiritual war. But you know what? If you have a commitment, you keep coming back up. You keep trying. Daniel 11, 32. By smooth words, he would turn to godliness. Let's kind of go down. It says, but the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Knowing their God, how do we know God? Spending time with him. But the people who know their God, actually, in the Hebrew, my understanding is that that's a very difficult thing to translate. We'll display strength to take action. One translation says, he will do exploits for God. You know, mighty things. But it's the people who know their God. And by the way, this was written for the last, specifically for the generation, the last generation that's going to be here on earth as we know it now. But it applies to all of us. The ones who know their God, they're the ones that are going to make a difference in this generation. I'd like for us to pray. And I would like to ask you to make a commitment, a fresh commitment, to begin to spend time with the Lord on a daily basis. Maybe you're already doing that. You know, my guess is probably always something we could probably go to the next level. But especially if you aren't doing this, or if it's been kind of up and down, make a commitment, ask God for grace, ask him to show you, and take some time, even today. Okay, Lord, when's the best time to do this? You know, the kids get up at 5 o'clock. I can't do it in the morning. Ask him when. He'll show you. And then I encourage you to start talking to others, perhaps at house church, others, just saying, hey, listen, I've made a fresh commitment. Can you hold me accountable? I made a fresh commitment. What are some of the things that you do? How do you work through this? How do you work with, you know, work it when you've got all these kids all the time, it seems like, and they don't take naps at the same time, or they don't take naps anymore? Okay, can we do that? Let's just pray. And I'm going to pray in just a minute, but I want you to take time and make that commitment if this is something that's really in your heart. And I know this will be one of the best decisions of your life. Lord, we ask that you'd meet us where we are. You know where every one of us are. But Lord, one thing I do know is that you want all of us to spend time with you. Lord, we may be in seasons where it's difficult, where it may look different than maybe it does in my life. And that's okay. The important thing, Lord, we want to spend time with you because we know that that's where life flows out from, is being with you. Not just in a religious way, but learning to know you and your ways, hearing your voice. Lord, we want to make that commitment fresh, or Lord, take us to a new level wherever we are. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.